Guys, I want to take a few weeks, I guess you can call it a sermon series, and talk about us as a church. The sermon series is called This Is Us. Some of us, we've got very big families that you know, we do these family get-togethers once, I don't know, every 5 years or 10 years, and then you've got like all the omas that's coming in for a quick kiss. And, you know, it's, for some of us, we hide behind the car because you don't know whose beard it was that was tickling you. Was it omas or was it, you know? who had a family reunion recently? Anyone here? People saw the Henda? Okay. Let me just say this. Every family has got their stuff. Isn't that true? Elke gesin het hulle stuff. And I'm talking now about good stuff. And it doesn't make you better than another family. It's just that's your family. Isn't that right? Like for some families, you will not wash your hands in the sink by the kitchen. Because if you do that, you're in trouble with mom. But in other houses, listen, you can do that. It's nothing about right or wrong. It's just how it works. You know, in some houses, mom is the one that works with finances. She's very efficient with having a budget and keeping stuff together. And in other houses, it's dad. And it's nothing wrong one way or the other. It's just we differ as families. And even as churches, there's stuff that distinguishes us. Now, if you look at the Great Commission, which is go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then every single church family on earth should work towards that goal. But we still look different. Like, if you're a brick in the corner, you might be chopped off, you're a bit shorter, but you fit in well. You know, if you look at a church like Hillsong's, for example, I mean, these guys has got a mandate to get worship music over the whole world. We've got more churches than Hillsong. Did you know that? We're good in that. We plant churches. Very gifted in that. People come to church. They give their heart to God. They hang around here for 2 years. Maybe they serve in the band. And then again, they send to plant a church. It's just what we do. That's us. This is us. And so tonight, I'm talking about what we call an apostolic DNA. Now, when I say DNA, I mean it's stuff about our family that is just interesting. If you go to any shofar, you'll pick it up. You can go on a Sunday to any shofar church 3 or 2 hours before service, and people will be slaving away, packing out cups, practicing in bands, laying wires. Then there'll be people hanging around. They don't know what to do, but they want to be there. We serve. I mean, that's one of the stuff we do. We create a culture where people serve. Okay, we, quite a number of people in our church at this stage. Now, this month, still, we only have one person on the payroll. We've got one staff member. We don't have a secretaresse that answers the phone and someone who does the finances in opzichter. Okay, we do it. That's us. Okay. You send a couple somewhere, whether it's Bethel or wherever, if there's a church to be planted, you just send two people there. You don't build them a church. You don't build them a house. You just send two people, and then they sort it out. It's what we do. I got here 2013. At that stage, Warren was here already. Carla, who else is here tonight that you guys know? Rue, you came with me, man. Joyce was here. Oh, Guido was here. Mills also came with me, right? Where's Mo? You were here before. Sorry for missing out. You know, I come here, and I'll be honest with you guys. And there's one fat bank account. No pastor. No one told them to do it. Opened a bank account. Henriette was here. Started tithing in it so they can bring a pastor up here. That's what we do. I come here, there's a building, the previous one, already sorted out, there's sound, there's stuff. It's just who we are. In short, that's what I just described, that's an apostolic DNA. And I'm going to take tonight to explain what does it mean if I say we have an apostolic DNA. What just happened here, okay, I'm almost starting at the end, but I'll work from here. It's apostolic. We will go. We are here on a mission. So maybe if the Hillsong's pastors meet once a year, they would say, guys, what is our new CD? What is the production of this year? Now, we brought out a CD in Spanish and one in French, whatever. Oh, great stuff. And they celebrate. We followed what God instructed us to do. Maybe in a few years, we'll plant a church there. For us, if we have a pastors meeting once a year, which we have in October, all the pastors come together. We're about 50 now, I think. With the wives, we're getting a bit big, about 100 people and staff members. Then if we haven't planted a church that year, we're very uneasy, because that's what we do. We need to plant. Make sense? Awesome. Let's go from here. Let's see how this rolls out. It's not a long sermon. What is apostolic anyway? So, for me, the term apostolic is such a rich term. I need to tread very carefully tonight because I don't want to confuse you. It's like the word cool, okay? What does it mean? Who knows? I guess 100 years ago it meant I need a jacket. All right? Today, cool. 100%. No problem. Cool. He's cool. He's a nice person. Okay? So I need to take what I want to do tonight and take almost one dimension of this word and get you in it and quickly reference a few others. So please bear with me. And if you've got any questions, you can ask me. Don't email me. I don't reply. Come and ask me in person. But what I do want to do tonight is almost like take this word or this term apostolic, and it's like there's a few lights that you need to shine on it to see the whole picture. And those lights are different terms, okay? And a few I've highlighted here. And then as we put it together, we'll come together to a point. Okay, Paul, a servant of Christ. Listen, this is the first verse of the book of Romans. Now, we tried something in Cape Town, and we did it, but I will think twice before I do it again. We did a verse-by-verse sermon series through the book of Romans. Took us a year and a half, okay? Another pastor, I think, took 12 years to go through it. Who was that guy? There was another guy, took longer. He also did it on John Piper's website. You can get any verse-by-verse sermon series on Romans, but he did a very, very extensive one. But this was the first sermon we had, verse 1, because it's just as loaded. This book is loaded. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now you can say, define the gospel, define apostle. What does it mean to be set apart? What does it mean to be called? Who calls you? How can you be a servant and an apostle? This is loaded. This is a book here. We're just going to touch it. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Okay, I'm going to start at another place. I'm going to start by the spotlight that's over there that's shining this way. But let's just get this down. I want to talk quickly about being set apart before we go to apostolic. This is one of my favorite pieces in scripture to just go back to and just be blown away but in how God saves our lives. And I've preached through this many times, but Ephesians 2, just remember that. If you want to lead someone to the Lord, if someone asks about how do I give my heart to God, where do I start? Ephesians 2, remember that. Other one is Romans 10. But this is where we are tonight. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. Who's that we? It's all of us, okay? All of us started this way. We were dead in our trespasses. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now, I don't want to start another sermon, but what is grace? Okay? That's very important. Grace is when you receive something that you did not own. If you forgive someone, you're being gracious. If you legitimately forgive someone, which means someone did hurt you, and you extend forgiveness, you are being gracious. You are giving something to someone which you think they maybe don't deserve. Especially if a friend hurts you and you say, you know what, I will pursue that friendship. I will win my friend back. Don't matter, you being a gracious friend. Being a good friend. I like those. God is the most gracious person there is. Because we are here tonight. And we don't deserve to be here. So what the Bible says very clearly, no one is born a Christian, no baby, white, black, Indian, China, wherever, you are born a sinner and there's nothing you can do about it. There's one thing you can do about it, and that's turn to Christ when He gives you the mind to do so. And what the Bible says is, even if you come to Christ, if you say, Lord, I want to serve you, it is something that God is doing in you. He is the one that's calling you. That's what this verse is saying. It is grace when you come to God. So you can never say, I came to God. Rick yourself, Rach. I'm a lot better than you because I made that decision. You know what? It was actually grace. You could not see God if He did not open your eyes. That is very mysterious and very deep. And that's why we pray, Lord, open His eyes. Open my friend's eyes. Because by mere conversation, people don't turn to God. It's a miracle. Are you with me? Okay. So basically in Ephesians 2, Paul writes to the Ephesians, which was a rough bunch. Okay. And he says, now you've been made alive, guys. You've been made alive. The next four verses, he actually repeats. He says it again. You are saved by grace, not of your works. But it works to this point in verse number 10. He says, now you've been saved, you've received grace. I hope a lot of you can make that connection tonight in your heart. Yes, I know what you're talking about. I received that. My life has changed. And then he says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What this means is that when you come to God and you give your life to Him and you say, Lord, take me, it has just started. Your purpose, you've just scratched it. You've not arrived at your end goal. I remember when we were in matric, we were introduced in our church, in our Dutch church, and that was the last time we were there. Back then, I mean, my faith was still very shaky. But it's like, okay, I've got it, I'm gone. What Paul is saying, if you truly come to Him, it starts here. Why? Because you've been called for certain good works, specific, you've been called for specific works because you are His workmanship. He looked at you and He formed you. So what happens when you receive grace, when you turn away from God, you turn from your works, because you know His workmanship. You had dreams. You had ways of thinking about stuff. You have stuff you actually slaved away for, whether it was work or physical exercise. You were giving everything because you had this idea. And then comes God. And He says, maybe He's going to use some of those stuff, but that's not important. You are my workmanship. Some of the stuff we did was good, but it was actually sin because it was not done out of faith. And so when God gets hold of us, puts our eyes on Him, suddenly everything changed. All our priorities changed. We are His workmanship. We are called out of something. So we are set apart. Every single person that says, I love Jesus and I belong to Him, are set apart unto Christ. That's why, and I'm just being honest, guys, and this is very important. If someone says, I love Jesus, but stays in the world. What does it mean to stay in the world? You stay in a place of not becoming free of sin. Okay, you're just staying there. You should ask yourself whether you really received Jesus as your Lord. Because with that comes the power and the grace to walk out of a sinful life. And we've seen it in this church over and over and over. Doesn't matter how deep the pit, he lifts you out. Okay? Takes prayer, takes discipline, takes friendship, takes help, small group, church, worship. Yes, but he moves you. Because you're now being set apart. You were in one place, but now you're taken out of it. You are now set apart. Ja, maar nou het ek my vriende verloor. Ja, but you gain God. Okay? I lost my friends, and now a lot of them serve the Lord because I weren't shy. You are called to be set apart. When you see him, everything else just fades away. Paul was running with a gang of guys that was killing Christians, and when he got saved, he was no longer killing Christians. He had no more friends that was killing Christians. He was set apart. Does it make sense? Please don't kill people. I'm having fun tonight. Okay, just to get the words over us. You are set apart for Jesus. By grace, he called you and washed your sin away so that you may leave your works to be his workmanship. You are new, right? That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 17, I think, 5 verse 17. It says, you are a new creation. Everyone who is in Christ is new. You are set apart for his kingdom. Okay, just going back to that verse. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called, okay, God saved him, he received grace, his life changed. To be an apostle, set apart. There's that word again. I just want you to, when you look at the scripture now and you see set apart, to understand it a bit better. What about you? Have you experienced this? Voel jy, het jy al so 'n bietjie uitgevoel omdat jy God dien? Is goed. Are you set apart? Don't be scared. Because at the other side, oh, blessings are waiting. You are called to be set apart for him. Now, let's move to this word. Now, the word apostle is such a rich word that it's been taken by people like the word cool, which we described, and it's been used so that you might have a wrong perception. Like football, you know, I think people in the UK, is football, rugby or soccer? You don't know. But some people call football rugby, you know, okay, there was no origin for a term, so sometimes we're actually losing a lot of our language with the way we mix our words. But in the beginning, right, not when God created the earth, not that beginning, when Jesus got apostles together, okay, the disciples, it just meant to go on a mission, which is what the word means. Go on a mission. So the Latin word is actually missio, where we get our word missionary. Okay? But now today, maybe you have, you've got churches that call themselves the apostolic church. There's nothing wrong. You can use whatever. But when we say the word apostle, don't think of a church. Okay? Because that came later. It just means to go on a mission. We also get in the Bible, in Ephesians, the fivefold ministry, where we get to later, so please don't worry about what I'm going to say now if it confuses you. There's basically five different types of leadership gifts which God gives to the church. One is a pastor. It means you're someone that's very affectionate towards people, bring the people together. Then there's a teacher, someone who's very aware of, are we speaking the truth? And those leadership gifts come together to make a healthy church. One of those are an apostle, which is one who's constantly thinking about planting, thinking about leadership, seeing the bigger picture. Okay, now I'm not talking about the leadership gift, an apostle. Okay, That's something specific. I'm just talking about the word apostolic, to go. Are you with me? Awesome. By the way, we, in our leadership structures as a church, we go for people that's different. In fact, we've got a team in Stellenbosch which governs all our churches. They are called the apostolic team because they're so different that they give a good balance. So when they look at Shofar Sekunda, and they maybe come and visit us, they'll sometimes be two or three. Because they are different as people, they can give us different angles on how we can do church better. And they can also give my pak so biki discipline for my. And can I give you a discipline here? It's not here. I'm just joking around. But we believe in balanced leadership. Awesome. So this scripture here, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. What is this called? What do we call this? The great co-mission. The great co-mission. So in Latin it would sound like the great something apostle. Okay. Christ is saying that we should be missional. We should be on a mission, which is apostolic. We should constantly be going. Now, that doesn't mean all of you must pack your bags and leave this town. It means that you are on a mission where you are working already. Is everyone serving the Lord where you are working? No. It means there's still a lot of work, so you are there on a mission. You are doing that. Now, you can be in this church. You can be in the band, you can be in a small group, but you can tap out when you go to work, which means you are not on a mission at work. Are you with me? But you can be on a mission. Just because you sit there doesn't mean that you are aware that God is sending you there. And that's the buttons I'm pushing here tonight. That's who we are. We go in, whether it's the rugby club, the action cricket, the rollball club, where we go, we trust that God will touch lives because we are on a mission. You are sent on a mission where you find yourself between Monday and Friday. Just that other slide again, and then at the bottom, another word that you will also hear is the word missional. If you just check at the bottom, to live with an outward focus. Now, I could use the same word. This is us. We are missional, but the word apostle and apostolic we find in scripture more. So I wanted specifically to work with that, so that when you read over scripture, you'll be reminded. But there's a lot of books on missional living. What does it mean to be missional? It means when you go to Spar, you aware that you might have a moment with someone that will change, because your roads cross, that their week will change. That's what it means to live missional. It means when someone is taking your money for the milk you bought, and there's just a moment to drop something there. That's what it means to be missional. And we want to be missional, amen? That's why we are here. We want to change this world. Or another word for missional is apostolic. Now, I just want to say this. Paul was called an apostle in the leadership sense in the New Testament, which meant he had the authority to write scripture. We cannot do that, okay? I just want to make sure you get this, okay? I'm not saying we are the apostles, let's start writing the rules we love in a book. We're apostolic, okay? It's a bit different. There'll be a very bad Bible if we must write one. Okay, now, check what Paul is saying. Now, I did Ephesians 2 on purpose because we played with the word grace, which meant when you gave your heart to the Lord, when you would draw nearer and you met someone and you went to their home and they shared the gospel with you, you came to church and your life changed, you received grace. Are you with me? Grace to be saved. Check what Paul writes here. He says, in Romans 1 verse 5. We're hanging around Romans 1. Through whom, talking about Jesus, we have received grace, Ephesians 2. And what? Apostleship. Through Jesus, we receive two things which come together as one. You cannot take the one and leave the other. It's not how it works. When you received grace, you received a mission. Every one of us. The day He called you, He gave you grace and a mission. Done. What do you call it when you take the grace for forgiveness but you don't take the mission? Disobedience. That's what it is. Okay, simple. Jy lê gedog ek gaan nou 'n smart woord sê. That's what it is. Now, you were on a mission. You were on your own mission. Okay? And then you came to Him and now He gives you His mission. Apostleship. Now, we believe that. And let me give you a few examples. Lynette and Niels is not here tonight, so I gaan lekker skinder. Lynette has touched the lives of a lot more women in this town than me. Because she believes she's called for it. So she prays for women, invites them into her house, and their life changed. She's not the pastor. Not that we're into the ranks and stuff, but she's not even a small group leader. Why? Because she understands she's got a mission. She understands what it means to be apostolic. So we went to the men's camp a few months ago. There was three men sharing their stories. It was Ben, Hanu, and Niels. I was also there. I didn't talk. I'm the pastor. Doesn't matter. These guys talked, turned the camp upside down. The guys couldn't shut up for the whole weekend. Apparently, after they talk, Secunda is the coolest place in the world. Because they talk the Friday night. I got people coming to me in the past. Where's Secunda? Oh, that place. Everyone comes to me. Oh, that's a cool church. Because these guys were just ministering. Why? Because it's not me who's running the show. It's us. It's the apostolic vision. So I know I can sit and let Ben do the work. Because God saved him. God gave him grace and apostleship. Gave me grace and apostleship. Now, through our lives, it looks a bit different. If some of us would be the worship leader, I don't know if we'll have people in church. Okay? Or maybe we'll have very committed people. Maybe that's a good thing, Warren. Okay? And if I must buy the snacks, we will only have meat. Okay? And that's maybe nice for some guys, so I don't know. But you see, so in the long run, Ben, our gifts, it differs. But you receive the mission and you're doing it as you go. And it looks a bit different than mine, but we're all moving, all right? So is Hendrik here tonight? So Hendrik takes a mission team to Congo. I'm not on the team. I took a mission team to Zuma. I stayed here in my warm bed. Okay? Cole's taking a team still to Zimbabwe this year. You see, the thing is just it's not about me. This is who we are, guys. This is us. I'm not planting a cell in Bethel. I don't like the place. I stay away. <I'm joking. laughs> We'll see who plant a small group in Evander still. We're still waiting. No, I'm just joking, guys. But I'm not doing it. Because there's something in us. It's an apostolic DNA. Hey, who plant a small group in Bethel? Ons twee. Klaar. Same evening. Done and dusted. That is who we are, guys. And you're sitting here around our family table. This is what you're getting yourself into if you're new here. I hope you like to be used. You know, it's interesting. We say to God, I feel so used and abused, but then we said, God, use me. And then He does it. Like, Okay? So get ready to be used by God. All right? I love who we are, guys. I love our family. It's really awesome. Apostolic means we're on a mission. We went through a whole month of intercession where we said over and over there is delegated to us this massive, massive responsibility to bring heaven to earth through our lives. If we don't go, the kingdom cannot grow. So what do? We plant churches, papi. Vinnig. Young pastors, I was 25. A guy gave me a mic, said, you must preach this Sunday. I was like, So I just had to swim. Now, for each and every one of us, it looks different. For you, maybe that step is to contact Warren and say, I am so shy, but there's actually something in my heart that tells me I must come and do an audition to sing in the band, but I'm really shy. Okay, maybe that's your step. For me, it was, here's a mic, you must preach. Okay? It's different for all of us. Okay. Don't have a lot of thoughts left. Are you warm enough? Kom maar kom bersie bring vir die volgende maand nog as jy wil hoor. I'm going to just quickly take you on a bit of a journey, like almost throw you at the end of the story and then show you how I got there. So become my boss late. Just check this verse out. Romans 1 verse 17. It says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now the righteousness of God is the fact that Jesus Christ washed me and then I'm righteous. It's talking about the effect of the gospel, God saving people. For in it the righteousness, the saving grace of God is revealed from faith to faith. What is that it? Kijk, wil jy net nieuwsgierig maak? What is Paul talking about? He's saying, for in it, in this thing which he just mentioned, that which I just said is what is changing this world. He's basically saying, for this, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous are lived by faith. Now, this is the previous verse. There's the two together. I'm putting it together for you. He's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone, to everyone who believes, to Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. These two things needed for the gospel of God to explode in this town and in your workplace. Number one is the gospel. That part is done. Jesus Christ died. Praise the Lord, that's the difficult part. I didn't have to do that. You didn't. I would have run away. The gospel is powerful. What is needed is bold believers. Nie mense sonder hare nie. Nee. Gutsy believers. Okay? There are two things needed. There's people, a group of people in this town, this is us, who's willing to say, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. And so when I go to my workplace, there's two things there. I'm there, number one, and the story of Christ who died is there as well, because I'm there. I'm carrying this. And for in that, the righteousness of God is revealed at your workplace. It sounds a lot like another scripture, which we quote a lot. We actually sang about it tonight. Revelation 12 verse 11 says the same thing. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What's the blood of the Lamb? It's the blood of Jesus on the cross. It's the gospel. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Both. A good story or a testimony without Christ is just meaningless. This isn't the story. But the story of Christ untold cannot change a heart. If they do not hear, they will not know. Two things are needed. Believers who speaks in Secunda, in Bethel, at the workplaces. But what they speak is this powerful gospel, which is done. It is done. But who's going to carry it? This is us. It's what we do, people. We carry the gospel. And lives changed. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. It's my last slide for the evening. Called, you are called to be an apostle set apart for the gospel of God. At least you are called to be apostolic. So I want to ask you this. I want to challenge you. In your small group, if you've been there for a while, at some stage, hopefully it has happened already, now I'm challenging you, what's going to happen when you get to 16, 18 people? Are you going to help the next small group plant? You don't have to lead it. Maybe you're not sure where you're fitting. Maybe you're the host. Maybe you bake the most amazing cookies. That's great. Okay, I love cookies. But you know what? Everyone has got a role to play. Are you thinking about how you're going to further just that part of the kingdom? Then you are thinking apostolic. We are one small group. What if we become two? What if 100, if you take the small groups from other cool churches in this town, I don't know, all of them, Craig and Lighthouse, what if you take, let's say there's 100 small groups, what if they become 200? What if they become 400? What if there's 1,000 meetings in houses in Secunda where people gather, where marriages are changed, where young children that goes to bed hungry don't go to bed hungry anymore, where there's violence in homes that stop? Are we thinking along those lines? What's up with your small group? Are you ready to help with the next plant? Okay, it's time to think that way. What's happening at your workplace? Are you thinking, are you connecting with another believer there? Are you praying already? Okay. If you think about, if you come to church and you enjoy church, and I know we enjoy church because there's great coffee and stuff. Got a great band. Thank you, Warren. You're doing a really amazing work. Amen, guys. They are putting in the work. But if we come here, we're talking about our family, and we start to grow, and little seeds in our hearts starts to fall, okay? And we don't think about people out there that's in need of Jesus, there's something wrong, because that's not who we are. We sit here and we think, man, that person should have been here. We come to worship and we're just worshiping the Lord, and then He gives us a face of someone we must invite next Sunday. That's who we are, constantly inviting the kingdom of God coming in this town. Amen? You can stand up tonight.